In some parts of the world, music isn't a hobby or even just a form of art. It's the stuff that connects the culture. And that's the environment musician Dumasani Marara Jr. was raised in.
I like to say in our family, it's not like, are you going to perform? Like, you just are going to perform. It literally is just a part of who we are and what we do.
Marara is better known as Dre's. He was born in Seattle, but his roots lead directly to Zimbabwe. His father came from Zimbabwe in 1968 as an artist in residence at the University of Washington. There, he taught the music of his native culture known as Shona. And the teaching became so popular that two things happened. Seattle became a little hub for Shona music in the United States, and it became a second home for Marara Sr. and his wife, who also taught music. Then, when Dre's was six, his mother sent him and his siblings to live for a while in Zimbabwe to experience the Shona culture firsthand.
In the Shona culture, music is a part of our life. It's a part of our everyday life. We come from a culture that traditionally did not have a written history, so everything was orally passed down. And so for us, the games that we play, the songs that we sing, there is so much that you're given as a child just to maintain the culture. So the stories, the history of our people is taught to us through the music and through the songs and through the dance.
So what was it like for you to then come back to Seattle several years later? You must have been, what, 10 or 11, something like that?
Yeah. I had a strong accent. To be honest, the journey was ups and downs. I remember times where it became a struggle. I didn't want to play marimbas, right? I didn't want to play mbitas. I didn't want to do African music. But a lot of that was, I think, was me more dealing with pressure or not dealing with it properly. So at times I didn't handle it so well. At other times, I loved it. We could be in a fight. Me and my brother could be fighting. And the minute we got on stage and started performing, everything just disappeared. It was the one place that you felt at home.
Wow. So what did your family think of your early forays into hip-hop?
Who are my children of the life, born in the sinning, but steady striving to do right. My people are warriors, all we know is to fight. Pray, they see God in everything I write.
So it's a journey. My early years, they thought I was bad. and I was bad at it? I was bad at it. Yeah, I was pretty bad. Over time, I got extreme validation from my father. I remember the first time I kind of sat in a car. We were at the Zimbabwe Music Festival. And I was like, man, Pops, I got to play something for you. So he's like, okay. And he listened to every song. You know what I mean? And he loved, I think that's what he mentioned the most, was that I was finally bringing everything about who I was to the table musically. You could hear the Shona influence. You could hear the gospel influence. You could hear the hip hop influence. It was like this meshing of everything in one. And, you know, my dad is, you know, he's a musical genius. So when you get that type of validation from him, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm doing something kind of hot now.
Can you describe specifically like what the Shona elements that you incorporate into some hip hop or rap, what it sounds like, how it makes the music different?
Well, first off, I mean, I bring a lot of marimbas to it. So the marimba, it looks just like the xylophone. It's actually the mother of the xylophone. It's a wooden instrument. You play it with mallets, but it's not as clean as a xylophone. When you hear a xylophone, it'd be like ding, ding, right? It would have that clear sound when you hit it. With a marimba, it's dirty. It's bzz, bzz, bzz. So you still hear the note, but you hear a buzzing and a deeper bass in it. The mbita is something that you would reference as the thumb piano, right? You play it with your thumbs and with your four fingers, and it gives off awesome sounds. And it, again, also has that buzz. It has that bass that we're looking for in our sound. So I started bringing that to the music, and sound-wise, it's just really, really different. It's something that I can say is finally being embraced right now around the world.
So you've explained a little bit about what the how the sound is different, the instruments that you bring in. Mm-hmm. Do the Shona traditions affect what you write about in terms of your lyrics and what you're singing and rapping about?
Absolutely. So writing-wise, I think I got my biggest direction in my writing from my father, because everything that he wrote was so passionate. He was writing about apartheid and the struggle and everything going on and the real life, the things around you. One of the biggest songs in, like on in Mbita, you'd hear is Cham Tangure, which talked about the Western world essentially coming into Africa. They were saying you could see who actually works for the Westerners because they had grease on their pants. And so if you can tell, hey, when you're working for Westerners, you're working for them, you get this grease on your pants. And so they started writing songs about it. That type of stuff influences me because the music is about the real life experience. It's about the everyday life experience, but also about the struggle.
Well, you talked about how, you know, in Shona culture, people make songs about meaningful things that are part of their everyday life. And I was just curious if you've done that based on stuff that you've picked up here in Seattle and from the culture of the Northwest.
If I could say the Zimbabwean in me met the Northwest in me, and they consummated a marriage, and they birthed what I would say is a storyteller, an authentic storyteller. And so I tell stories of my people as a whole. And so The Hood Ain't the Same, for example, I was living in Seattle, Washington, and watching it change. And I remember being so frustrated by the change in the hood that at some point I was like, yo, The Hood Ain't the Same. And I just had to write about it.
I was born in the Central District, raised in the South End. I'm a homegrown kid, yep, 206 living. Used to play flyers up when I lived up on Union. Pushed it out to August and eventually the Kenyans. Didn't have much, but thankful for all we was giving. It was our hood until we didn't see crept in. And the blacks went naked and gentrification came. Garfield, Franklin, robberies ain't even the same. Mark my words.
But I wasn't done. I remember driving through the Central District. I was on 23rd and Union. And I parked my car and I walked out and it was like popping at night. It was bright. People were out there. It was like crazy. But I had a sadness inside me because of how the neighborhood had changed. And right there is where you have the pot shop, literally right next to a church within a couple of feet. And that bothered me, right? Because it was an impact of gentrification. It was because of gentrification, we now have this clashing of cultures that is completely offensive to the people who were forced to once live there. And so I'm sitting there and in my soul, this melody, the melody I had of a song called The Irony on 23rd, and this melody of sadness just started to play. And so I sat out there on 23rd and Union, I grabbed my pad and my pen and I just wrote. And what came out was the last song that I did on my project, The Irony on 23rd. But it was birthed out of a very real situation.
How are you trying to pass that on to your own child? You have a daughter, right?
I do. So my daughter is Nyasha Maraire. So she is a beautiful young girl who is learning all of the music. So I've just given her everything that my parents gave me. My mom's like her mentor. So she danced with my mom ever since she was probably like 6 years old, right? She would be on the stage dancing and she's learned to play marimbas. At home, I teach her how to play the Mbita and she doesn't shy away from it. She's African-American. She embraces the African portion as well as the American. She loves to tote the fact that she's Zimbabwean, right? She cannot wait for us to go. She's been talking about it for over a year now. Like, when are we going, right? So I've just tried to give her a passion and a love for her culture and the freedom to express however it comes through her.
Well, Tumisani Moraire is a Seattle-based hip-hop artist, better known as Dre's. Thank you so much for talking to us about the history of Zimbabwean music and your history here in the Northwest.
Thank you very much for having me.
They say that 23rd is booming. Man, 23rd is ruined. 23rd psalm in my palm and it's so confusing. The book says he makes a slang.